Welcome to the podcast that's happy to see Martin Chuma move to Brayhead due to our shares that we took out in the battered Mars Bar production. Ka-ching! This is A View from the Bridge. Hi everybody, it's Wednesday the 28th of November 2012 and my name's Patrick Smith. I'm on my own today. It's a bit of a catch-up podcast considering there's been that much going on in the last couple of weeks. In this show we'll be catching up with all the results that have been passed. I think there have been about four or five games. Look at the news of the Giants camp. Looking ahead to the game against the Nottingham Panthers on Friday night. And then we'll be chatting with Matt Toe, the Belfast Giants, about his career and his time at the Giants so far. If you want to get in contact with us here on A View from the Bridge, you can send us an email at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. You can tweet us at AVFTB. A lot of people are doing that these days. At AVFTB. We'd be delighted to hear from you. And you can go to our website, of course, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. Right, so where do we start? Well, we're best starting off way back a couple of weeks ago. And the game against the Hull Stingrays. I was lucky enough to go to that game myself, where the Giants grinded out a win 3-2 in the most versatile arena. I got to speak with Doug Christensen after the game, and this is what he had to say.
Doug, 3-2 win. Not the prettiest of games, but you're going to come to Hull twice and you've taken 4 points, so you've got to be happy enough.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, if somebody told me that we get the 4 points against Hull in the league at the most versatile venue, I would have taken it. But clearly tonight was not a great performance by us, but we did what it took to win. Disappointed that we gave them a shorthanded goal, which kind of made it a much more interesting game than it needed to be. But the reality is Stephen Murphy was fantastic for us tonight, and that bodes well for us going forward.
It was a bit of a chippy first period, and then the Giants sort of took hold in the second period, but Craig Peacock took a 10-minute misconduct, and you seem to have a bit of a disagreement with the referee over that.
Yeah, the thing is one of the things we actually have a pretty steep penalty for with the team is taking 10-minute misconducts. And I asked the ref what he said. He didn't swear. He didn't yell at him because I was standing right behind him. So I just wanted to know what he said. The ref basically just said that he just wouldn't shut up. And I mean, I was right there. I didn't think that it was a 10-minute misconduct, but clearly he thought otherwise, and that's all that matters. But, you know, for us as a team, we can't take 10-minute misconducts. We have to make sure that we're above that and stay the course and not take those penalties.
Coming into a game like this, you've had most of your imports are 2 weeks off. Some of the British guys and yourself have been halfway across the world and back in that time. You sort of showed that the more stamina in the game was as the game went on, but Hull still got back into it.
Yeah, you know what, I thought that we looked a little bit rusty. I thought we looked a little sluggish at times. And I hate to say it, this is probably the worst building to go to in the league for that because it's so hot and it's a really tough travel day for the players. We never use that as an excuse, but it's a contributing factor to not having as much jump. But you know what, when we needed to make plays, we made plays. We got that 4-on-3 goal, which really put us in a good position. But I did think that we showed a bit of rust. Hopefully we've got that out of us because we've got a huge game tomorrow.
Yeah, it is going to be a difficult game going to Cardiff tomorrow. What are you expecting there?
An absolute battle every time. It's the most difficult place in the league to win. We have to play better than we did tonight to get a result. There's no doubt about that. But I expect the leaders in the room to show up tomorrow, and hopefully we can have some success.
One last note on your fantastic trip to Japan. What was that like?
Unbelievable experience. One of the highlights of my hockey career. I was just very, very privileged to be a part of it.
And to beat Japan in Japan must have been a great achievement for you guys.
Do you know what? The players played so hard. And one of the things that I was very, very proud about was how well the Giants did. Obviously, Murph did extremely well, but I thought Peacock was our best forward. And, you know, obviously, Davey missed the last part of the game against Japan. But Mark Garside played against Japan's top line, which would be as good, if not better, than any line in the Elite League. And he did a great job against them. And I was very, very proud of their efforts. But I got to tell you, there's a lot of really good characters on that team. Guys who compete, guys who truly care, and I'm very proud for them to be able to showcase what they can do at the next level.
And one more question. No Davy Phillips, no Scott Champagne tonight. Anything to worry about there?
Champagne, I don't know when he'll be back. We'll see. Davy's 50-50 for tomorrow. I have every expectation he's in the lineup for sure next weekend.
Okay, good luck in Cardiff. Thanks.
As you can see, Doug, happy to have the results, but it wasn't, well, how do you put it? It wasn't the most convincing of wins, considering it had been 2 weeks out since due to the trip to Japan for Team GB and the guys involved in that. The Giants looked pretty rusty going out onto that rink, despite in the second period, well, the first period was, to be honest, an absolute non-entity of a period. It was sort of just much of a much as of people just battering about and nothing really happening. It all came to life in the second period when Craig Peacock took the lead, and a couple of minutes later, Robbie Sandrock doubled it. The Giants never at any point looked comfortable, and Jeremy Tendler had a great breakaway goal just before the halfway point, before just after the halfway point, Noah Clark got what would be Giants' final goal, and Jason Silverthorne shorthanded, which is really, really... Well, I probably grinded the Giants considering how dominant they've been on the power play and on the penalty kill this season. How strong, especially on the power play. Jason Silverthorne pulled it back to 3-2 with less than 10 minutes to go. But the Giants had to grind out a win with most of the play going on along the boards and the corners. It was a dirty win. It was nothing really to write home about. But these are the games, if you're going after the championship, you really have to win. And that would be, unless we meet them in the cup, of course, that would be the, I think they qualified for the cup. That would be the Giants' last trip of the season to the most versatile arena. The next day, they travelled down to Cardiff. And as you heard in that interview, you know, Doug was always waiting for a battle. And that's exactly what they got. Despite the Giants basically firing ahead into a 3-0 lead before the 30-minute mark, you know, it, from the reports, it appeared to be quite a dominant display by the visitors. But something happened coming out into the final session. And Paul Bissonnette, the NHL player from the Phoenix Coyotes for the Cardiff Devils, seemed to have inspired his team into what was one hell of a comeback. Bissonnette, Batch, and then Matt Faulkner with less than 10 minutes to go, equalising and making it 3-3 and into overtime. In the overtime, the Giants were under the cosh already due to a penalty for slashing taken by Jeff Mason. Yes, I am reading it. It's a penalty for slashing taken by Jeff Mason with only 20-odd seconds left in the game. It was more or less as soon as Mason stepped out of the penalty box that the crisp light found Matt Faulkner all alone in front of goal. Faulkner scored his second of the night and the overtime winner for the Cardiff Devils. That's an immense comeback. It's an immense win, especially against the league champions in their own barn. And I know their fans enjoyed it. You only have to read the Inferno. Friday night following, we're going to get through these as quick as I can. Friday night following, the Giants were on the fifth of five road games. Now, you know, the drop only 2 points, because this game was won 5-2 in Dundee. So therefore, the Giants only dropped 2 points across five road games, which is a fantastic achievement, because it's not an easy schedule to have. It was actually Dundee who opened the scoring through former Panther Sami Arajanen, but the Giants took hold in the as the second period went on, with goals from Mark Garside, Andrew Fournier, Daryl Lloyd and Jeff Mason. Mike Worrell pulled one back to make it 4-2, but Craig Peacock shorthanded with 5 minutes gone in the final session, basically sealed the deal. And the man of the match was our guest tonight, which was Matt Toe. So the Giants, like I say, only 2 points dropped across five games and finally got the return home to Belfast on the 24th, which was last Saturday, in a game against the Edinburgh Capitals in an absolute demolition of the Edinburgh Capitals, who, you know, it's tough for the Edinburgh Capitals because they maybe don't have a full quota, and I know that Holland was in goal for them. You don't want to gloat and brag about wins like this, because running up the score, as much as I'm in favour of it at sometimes, it all depends on the team you're playing against. Goals for Roberts, Stewart, Clark, Sam Roberts again, Mark Garside, Jeff Mason, Craig Peacock, Noah Clark again, excuse me, and Daryl Lloyd before Peter Holeko pulled one back, man of the match for the Edinburgh Capitals, pulled one back with just under 5 minutes to go. And that wraps up all of the games that the Giants have had since we've last spoke. Actually, probably a good time to have a look at the league table. The Giants, despite the break that they had and teams trying to catch up and, you know, teams with games in hand, the Giants still sit top. Played 19, 30 points in the Rabbit Solicitors Elite League standings. Sheffield come second. The Steelers have played 20 and have 29 points, just 1 point behind the Giants. The Nottingham Panthers, who we play this Friday, they've only played 17 games and they've 25 points. Of course, if they were to take those points and those games in hand, that would put them level with Sheffield, but 1 point behind the Giants. Fourth, Cardiff, 19 games played, 25 points. Fifth, Coventry, 18 games played, 21 points. As you can see, all the teams from the Earhart Conference sitting top of the Rapid Solicitors Elite League standings. 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th and 10th in order will be Brayhead, 17 games, 17 points. Dundee, 18 games, 17 points. Hull, 17 games, 16 points. Fife, 18 games, 14 points. And Edinburgh, 19 games, 9 points. Looking at the Earhart Conference, it's actually weird the way the difference between the Earhart Conference and the Gardner Conference, when you look at it, and the standings in the Elite League, because Belfast are actually second by a point to Sheffield. Sheffield are leading that. 13 games played by Sheffield, 17 points in the conference. Belfast second, Cardiff, then Nottingham, then Coventry. I'll not run through all the games though, because it's still difficult to understand what is going to happen towards the end of the season when these, you know, when these conferences are decided. We're going to get a trophy, these conferences, or what? But I've bored Jacko with that enough already. Just to wrap it up, the Gardner Conference is actually led by the Hull Stingrays, but probably because they've played more games than anybody else. Dundee are second there, Brayhead, who seem to have struggled of late. Everybody, I'll take a lot of blame for that myself as well, thought that Brayhead were going to be quite dominant, especially in the Elite League title challenge, because they were considered to be in a weak conference. Unfortunately, it hasn't really happened for them, despite the fact, you know, they've got Drew Miller from the Detroit Red Wings in there, some really, really strong players, Jade Galbraith, and now they've got Martin Tuma come up from the Nottingham Panthers in a sort of a farm team type of thing, though they don't consider themselves to be a farm team, but either way you look at it, you know, he's there, and the Nottingham Panthers have stated he's welcome to come back, so, you know, it's difficult to see it's not being a farm team. Anyway, Brayhead are third, Fife are fourth in the Gardner, and Edinburgh are bottom of this as well, unfortunately. Bit of bad news, looking at the news coming out of the Giants camp, was last Wednesday, and therefore for the games that we'd played at the weekend there, was the injury sustained during a hit in Sunday's game in Cardiff by Robbie Sandrock. Sandrock's a massive, we spoke to him earlier, a massive, massive loss to the Belfast Giants. Of course, we spoke to him earlier this season about how glad he was to come back and how that, you know, we could talk all about that slap shot and whatever, but you look at Sandrock's game over the last, you know, few months, and it's been he's been an absolutely fantastic addition to the team, a real leader, one of the senior members of the team, and to lose him like that would probably mean that the likes of Davey Phillips and Sam Roberts would really have to step up to the game, which they did. You look at the two games between against the Dundee Stars and the Edinburgh Capitals, but I guess unless Sandrock is back, though it says he'll be out for multiple weeks, it looks like this weekend's test against the Nottingham Panthers will be the big one for them, just the real acid test to see how much they can step up in the absence of what has been quite a dominant D-man, both offensively and defensively. Other news, quite sad news actually, was the reports earlier this week of the death of former Belfast Giants defenceman Kasper Zastosenko. Zastosenko came into the club season 2010-2011, quite late on in the season. He only played 17 games with 5 points, but everybody who watched him saying, considering he came in so late, he got a glittering career. He played for a number of seasons, I think, for the Tampa Bay Lightning in the in the NHL. Kasper's came in quite late on to the season when we were in need of a bit of shoring up at the back, and in a team that maybe didn't sparkle as much, he was a bit of a shining light towards the end. And it's always sad to hear of a player passing away. I think this may be the first for the Belfast Giants, but it is sad news, and our thoughts and prayers go to his family and his friends in Latvia. We'll look ahead now. Like I say, this Friday, a game against some team from Nottingham. Not really interested. No, the Nottingham Panthers, toiling of late. Like I say, they're sitting third in the Robert Solicitor's Elite League. 17 games played, 25 points. But that's not for the lack of having some really good players. In saying that, they've only won 3 out of their last 5 games, including a 10-0 thrashing of Edinburgh at home. But I think Davey came up with the stat that they're yet to win away in regulation against any Earhart Conference side. Now, there's a scud on it put there, right there, if you want. And if it does put the scud on it, have a look in the programme. I didn't come up with that. Davey Majemption came up with that. But of course, Nottingham Panthers are not actually, you know, they're not lightweight. They're far from that, despite the fact that, you know, 3 wins out of 5, I think one of those in overtime, is actually a pretty good record. And if they were to win their games in hand, like I said earlier, they would sit second in the Elite League. Matt Francis doing really well. David Ling, Bruce Graham, Pat Gallivan. All really, really strong players. Johnny Weaver doing well, not getting the ice time that he maybe got in Coventry. But when Weaver came in, we spoke to Jono actually earlier in the season on the podcast, and he was saying exactly the same thing, that if, you know, Weaver would come in and be strong, just because he'd be getting less ice time. And with Corey Nielsen still behind the bench, it seemed to have ironically strengthened the Panthers with a bit more organisation on the ice. Of course, for all his failings, in my opinion, Corey Nielsen still remains one of the best D-men in the league, one of the most creative D-men in the league. But I guess he was just overplaying himself in a want and a desire to win games. You've also got to look at the addition of Anthony Stewart. You can't overlook that. That's an NHLer right there, a guy with an immense amount of talent, and a guy who in 16 games has got himself 10 points. You know, a really strong addition to the right wing. The Giants, considering the games they've had of late, and you can take that thumping of the Edinburgh Capitals out of it, I think the Giants have been quite strong. And they'll be hoping, with Nottingham Panthers coming into their barn, to continue what has been a good record against a team that you could call a rival. I don't call them a rival, but you could say they're a team that a lot of Giants fans love to hate. You can catch the game on GiantsLive.tv. It's this Friday night at 7:30. It's a game that was moved to replace a Fife Flyers game due to the Tyson Fury fight that's taking place on Saturday, quite controversially. Yes, the Fife Flyers game has been moved now to mid-January, I think. And now the Nottingham Panthers are playing us that weekend. I know that there's some compensation of... I think you can go to Pizza Hut if you're a Fife Flyers or a Nottingham Panthers fan over that weekend. You'll be able to go to Pizza Hut and get yourself stuff. And I know if you go to the Belfast Giants website, there's information there. Yep, GiantsLive.tv, 7:30. This Friday night. Okay, earlier on this evening, I had to chat with a new Giant, but not somebody who's new to the Elite League. Matt Toe cut his teeth at Sheffield. He played for Telford. He's played for Guildford, notably for the Cardiff Devils for a number of years in the Elite League, which maybe caught a few Belfast Giants fans' eyes then. But I got to chat with him earlier today. But I'll just start by asking: after 2 seasons in the EPL, how do you feel you've adapted to being back in the Elite League?
I think I'm doing okay at the minute. I started off with the change of the import limits, so that kind of made it a little bit more difficult for me to get ice time. And I was playing in like penalty kill situations, and we had a few injuries, and that gave me a bit more opportunity. And I'm starting to find the rhythm again. So obviously, like the EPL is a good league, but just the depth in the elite league, there's three lines that can go out there and be top lines. So it's just getting back into that, and I'm enjoying them back at this level.
Yeah, you say, you know, the depth in the elite league is a big difference. Do you feel it's there's a big jump in standard when you from moving from Guildford to Belfast and between the EPL and the elite league?
I just think the overall depth, like there's the three lines in the majority of the elite league teams can all go out there, they can all do a job, they can all play in certain roles. And there's a lot of good players in the EPL, and for whatever reason they stay in that league, because obviously it helps with work or education. Mm-hmm. But like there's players in the EPL that can play elite league, but they choose not to for certain reasons. But I think the game's a bit more organised as well, a lot more put onto the floor check and different situations. So that's another thing I'd find in general.
Awesome. In the Elite League, you probably caught most people's eye when in your time at the Cardiff Devils, but you cut your teeth with Sheffield when you came from the Scimitars and played a few games for the Steelers. And you're a Sheffield lad, aren't you? So that must have been a great experience.
Yeah, it was great. I think I was 18, and I was playing for the Sheffield Scimitars, and Rob Dowd, also an ex-Giant who was here last year, he was in the same situation, and we were lucky enough to train at. I'm kind of a two-way with the Steelers, so we got to train a lot with those guys, and being young, we got to learn from them, and I think I played six or seven games for them, and that was a great experience. And it was the year after that I went to Cardiff. Mm-hmm. And decided to give it a go full-time, yeah, and loved Cardiff every minute of it. 3 years I spent there, and they've got a good team again this year, but hopefully not too good against us.
Yes, from Cardiff, you moved to the Guildford Flames. And was that a tough decision for you, or was that a decision you felt you had to make, moving from what many see as a step down in standard?
For me personally, the reason behind the move was in Cardiff. I'd been there for 3 years, mm-hmm. and it was kind of not becoming stale, but I wanted to try something new, and maybe I wasn't playing much power play and stuff in Cardiff, so I thought I'd go back down to Guildford, who've got a great setup. It's as professional as I've seen, and they'd spoken to me a couple of summers running, the coach there, Paul Dixon, so I knew they were interested, and I knew I was going to go there and play on the top two lines and play every situation. So I wanted to go back, and for the first year I was just going to go back for 1 year, try and put up a load of numbers and see what offers came back to the elite league, because I want to play at the top level that I can. Had a really good year with the Guildford Flames, and we won the playoffs. So I wanted to give it one more year and see if we could win any more silverware. And luckily, we got the double last year. We got the league and the cup. So yeah, but then this summer I was talking to him again, but decided I wanted to be back in the top league and try and get back in the national side.
The your time in Guildford, you were spent a lot of time with the likes of, you know, Lobby and a lot of guys. Actually, have come down from the Newcastle Vipers, funnily enough. But the was it a good time playing, or was it an enjoyable time playing in Guildford?
Oh, a great time! Yeah, it was a good bunch of boys. Like I'd known Lobby since I was about 12, just from when he played for the Sheffield Steelers as well in the old Super League days. So playing with him, and he's a great lad and really good leader, and he's having another great year. To say, I think he's nearly 40 now, and you can see he got his 100th cap with GB, which is a great achievement. And then the rest of the boys, we had a young team, so a lot of us got on. We're all on the same wavelength, and it was good. No complaints there, and it was great to win trophies too.
Do you feel, now that you're back in the Elite League, having played all that time with Cardiff and then spent the time down in the EPL, that you've come back to the Elite League with maybe something to prove about your game?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Coming back, my parents wanted me back in the league. Week in, week out, they're saying, like, the EPL is a good league, but we feel you can do better. And I felt that as well. And, like, when I spoke to Belfast, obviously they won the league last year, and when I spoke to Doug, Doug pretty much just laid it on a plate. We build teams in Belfast to win championships, and I wanted to be a part of that, and obviously want to win silverware. And along the way, it's always nice to personally play well, put up numbers, and just get a week in, week out playing to the best of my ability. So yeah, I feel like I've got a lot to prove.
You mentioned there about, you know, you want to get back in the GB side and get back in the GB ranks. So you've actually played in various levels all the way through to the senior squad. Now you're back in Belfast and maybe in front of Doug Christensen and the setup as it is now. And with this, you know, with the carrot at the end of Latvia, do you feel that, you know, it's always on your mind trying to fight your way back into that GB squad on the ice and in training?
Oh, definitely. No matter who you ask, you want to play at the top level, and I've got a lot of friends on the GB squad, and the two trips that I've made going to Slovenia and Austria was like an unbelievable experience, and the boys did great over in Japan, and unfortunately I wasn't a part of that, but now I'm getting more ice, and I'm trying to put some numbers and trying to prove to the coaches that I'd like to be in that squad. So obviously it's a matter of time, but I just keep working hard towards that goal.
What about your game, Matt? Do you feel your own game has changed in any way since, you know, maybe since your time back in Telford, or does like do you as a hockey player, you tailor your game? Do you approach maybe a game in the EPL different to the game in the Elite League, or do you try to keep the same intensity?
I always go out there to try and give my all 100% every shift and stuff, and I always like to try and put up numbers. But on the Belfast side, we've got so much depth, right? This year, as long as I go out and try and be a plus every night, so don't concede any goals and try and create offensively and be a guy to bring a lot of energy and play a bit more of a physical game as well. Like we've got guys like Kiefer and Lloyd, but doesn't say that none of us else can get involved with a bit of physical play. Obviously, it gets a place to come. So I think like in the EPL, there was a bit more stress on me to put up the numbers and things like that, but like Doug's told me what he expects, and obviously to put up some points would be great, and as long as we're getting the 2 points at the end of the night, that's the main thing.
For yourself as a British player, you know, coming into the league, you mentioned earlier on about, you know, with the change in the import levels, you weren't getting as much ice time and, you know, playing on the special teams and the likes. Do you feel that the British players are developing in the Elite League with regards to, you know, playing alongside a lot of the imports, or do you feel that there's more chance of development down in the EPL?
Personally, I think playing week in, week out, training, like obviously in the Elite League, it's more of a full-time job. Like we get Mondays off and then you're on the ice every day and you're playing with guys. On our team, we've got Greg Stewart and we've got Noah Park that have played at the top level. And then the likes of Sanrock, who's played in elite leagues across Europe, playing with those guys will definitely help your game. I think playing in the EPL and getting that extra ice time during games will help with confidence. And I think confidence can play a huge part in how someone plays. But overall, the elite league is, I feel, developing players. But when they did move the numbers up, I spoke to some of the other players, and I thought the number, when it was at 10, I thought that was probably a better number. It just gives that 10 players an extra job in the Elite League to prove their worth.
What's the atmosphere like in the locker room with all the with the guys this season?
Oh, we've got a good bunch of lads, a really good bunch of lads. That's I know Doug Christensen, when he's putting together a team, not only does he look for the on-ice abilities, but he doesn't want any guys in the dressing room that are kind of going to rock the boat, because it's a long season. You want everyone to buy into the team goals and stuff, and not a bad word to say about any of our teammates. We're all a bunch of lads, and we just want to go out there, have fun, and get the results.
Great stuff. I have to say, Matt, I don't think a weekend's gone past when you're playing away from home that I've been to a game and I haven't seen your parents in the crowd. They're obviously really, really supportive of you over the years.
Oh, definitely. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my parents. But I remember when I first started and they said, ice hockey, really? Stick to football. And I was a swimmer and golfer as well. But then now I don't think they could live without it. They still try, and now I'm in the Elite League, there's a few games like Coventry, Nottingham, Sheffield that we can make. And when I'm not playing, they'll still go and support the Sheffield Steel Dogs because they need the hockey for big fans.
Excellent. You played at Telford. Did you feel it's good to see Telford competing now in the EPL, still on in their new rink? And, you know, do you still keep in touch with the games there?
I keep in touch with most of the games on Saturday night or a Sunday night. I'll have a look, see how they're getting, see how Telford are getting on. Sheffield, obviously, Guildford, we're just leaving. And, like, you'll hear around the bus or around the locker room the results. But like Tom Watkins, I've known Tommy a while, and
yeah,
he's doing a great job there. I know they've not got the budget compared to some of the other teams, but he's putting out a team that can try and compete week in, week out. And it's teams like Telford that develop the young guys that haven't got the money to bring in the more experienced guys. So without them, I think there'd be less development in that league for sure.
This weekend is the game against, this Friday is the game against the Nottingham Panthers, and you being a Sheffield lad, do you feel the rivalry more than most when Nottingham come into the rink?
I grew up watching the Steelers, and obviously watching the games against Nottingham, they were always intense games, always sellouts. It was always kicking off. I remember when, I think it was Nightcard playing for Sheffield, was fighting like Dennis Fell and Scott Allison years ago, and it's just intense. But every game that we play against the likes of Nottingham and Sheffield and Cardiff, I think we've got our own rivalries with them. Like, obviously we won the league last year, and we're putting together a strong year so far. So yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a good one on Friday.
And I'll finish off by saying that you and a lot of the guys are quite active on Twitter, and the banter seems to be good around the locker room. Who do you think's the strongest at that?
Well, I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but I think I'm up there. But nah, I'm only messing. I think Keith is up there. He's always got something to say, and he's got a load of followers. And we most of it off Twitter, but we sometimes put a bit on there just for a bit of a laugh and a joke. I'd have to give it to Keith.
Sticking with the captain, that's good to hear. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again to Matt. Top interview, top lad. Wish him well. You see his parents every away game I've been to so far. I've seen his parents there. They've been fantastic. In fact, I had the pleasure of meeting his parents at a Manchester Phoenix game last season when he was playing for the Guildford Flames, and they were all talking about how they wanted him back in the Elite League and how he thought he was still... And he was a standout player for the Guildford Flames in that game, and in the games I've seen him play. We wish him well for the season ahead. Well, that's about it. I think one more thing to do before we wrap up the show is that last time, I chatted about the blogs and the podcasts, and I'll just add a couple more. That if you're there looking for blogs or you're there looking for podcasts and whatever, if you go back to our last show from a couple of weeks ago when we chatted to Chris Ellis, after that I ran through a number of blogs and things for people to look up. If you look up the F Block blog, that's easy for me to say. The F Block blog, that's one coming from the Hull Stingrays, and the Angry Budgie in Manchester Phoenix, Mark's blog, is excellent. Really, really worth a read. If you want to drop us a line and inform us of any blogs that you have, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com, @AVFTB on Twitter, that's @AVFTB, or go to our website www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. Like I said, Nottingham Panthers this weekend. If you can't get to the game, giantslive.tv is your place to be. It's Friday night at 7:30. And wherever you are this weekend, we really hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Goodbye.